This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Wednesday. It is January 13th. You're listening to the Andy Fry Show, and it is another banner day for the country. We are listening right now as they are engaged in the two-hour session of hearings where they get to, on the House floor, make their case for the impeachment or against the impeachment of Donald J. Trump. You are listening to 97.1 FM Talk. We are glad that you're here. At 2 o'clock, we anticipate the actual vote to commence. Is that right, Katie? 2 o'clock?
That is correct. Yep.
So we are going to stay nearby that, but I'm not going to subject you to listening to this thing the entire day. It's honestly nothing new. I mean, you could listen to this. We've heard this all. Let's see. What was it? It was a year ago, January, when we impeached the president the first time, this time for the incitement of an insurrection. So we soldier on and we see what our leaders, our fearless leaders in Washington, D.C. are going to do, the decision that they're going to make. And I was listening to Nancy Pelosi's speech just, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes ago or so. And she was talking about Abraham Lincoln. And then she goes, Paul writes in the Bible that we should think on these things. Well, yeah, Paul writes in the Bible that we should think about such things. Do you know what else Paul writes in Philippians? You know, I normally wouldn't go like right into Bible verses right off the top of the show, but since Nancy Pelosi is invoking scripture in her soldiering to impeach this president, this is what that Bible verse says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Nancy, I think you left off the first part of that Bible verse. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. I haven't seen much of that out of Congress in quite a long time. And it certainly hasn't been, the MO of how they decide to go about their business in Washington, D.C. is usually not based on what Paul writes. But now it is because, of course, it's Nancy talking. Katie, what did you message me? She said it breaks her heart or something.
Yeah, she started to say that it breaks her heart that she has to impeach Trump, that she really, really doesn't want to do this. That was the big thing. She really, really doesn't want to have to do this, guys.
I can't, we're not stupid. But she expects us to be. She speaks to all of us as if when she says these things, who thinks that she actually believes that? Who is consuming anything that is coming out of Washington, D.C.? And I'm not saying there's a political party behind this, but these speeches that they give, these are prepared speeches. The biggest concern of every single person in Washington, D.C., especially in this House right now, is their political career. It's not the future of Donald Trump's presidency. Donald Trump's presidency is over. Donald Trump is not going to be the president next week. Their concern about what happens next is based on their own personal political future. And you know it, and I know it. So when Nancy Pelosi comes trotting out and saying, Paul says that we should think about such things. There are a lot of things Paul said, Nancy, that if we're going to go down the route of the epistles in the New Testament. You know, maybe we should just do, wait, let's sit down and do that. Maybe that would be the most fruitful thing that we could do for the future of this country. I got to tell you, I'm reading a lot of messages from people just like you who have reached out to the show page, who have expressed an enormous amount of just angst over the climate that we are in right now. You're worried, you're concerned, you're sad. You're sad. I get that. I understand that. I am sad too. Politically speaking, when I consider what the Democrats and some Republicans, this is going to be a bipartisan impeachment vote against Donald Trump today in the House. When I think about what we are headed towards, I got to tell you, gauging where you are based on the messages that you've sent me, I really believe that the impeachment of Donald Trump, hear me out, okay? Don't turn the station off until I get to explain myself. If they were to successfully impeach him, it would be the single most unifying thing that could be done to the Republican Party. And honestly, possibly the only thing that could save the Republican Party moving forward in the next 2 or 4 years. If Donald Trump's name is taken off of the list of people who can continue to lead this party in political office, if he's not allowed to serve again, then the Trump people and the non-Trump people don't have that to fight over. They will have to go in a new direction. Now, of course, we won't all agree on what to do next. And I don't know that you even know which side of that divide I might be on. I'll be honest, I don't know what side of that divide I'm on right now. I haven't turned my back on Trump. I haven't decided that I think that, you know, I certainly would not vote to impeach him if I were in Congress right now. I do think that a lot of his trouble, and this is what I've seen consistently from people messaging the show page, sending me tweets, is that you know that part of Donald Trump's problems are of his own making. And you're also equally frustrated that he has never one day in his candidacy or in his presidency been in a fair fight. And you also know that he has done things as the president of the United States that have created an enormously better environment. I had somebody say, you know, name one thing he's done that doesn't just benefit the 5%, the top 5%. Are you kidding me? Have you heard of the First Step Act? Have you heard of Right to Try? Have you seen the things that he's done to amplify pro-life causes? Have you seen the tax cuts? I mean, these are easy off the top of my head things. Not to mention the fact, peace in the friggin' Middle East, guys, come on. I don't need to convince you to convince myself. I hope that you get that from me, and I hope that for the people who are messaging me right now and the people who are fraught with worry and anxiety, I'm going to tell you right now it's going to be okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, anything good that comes in the future with the Republican Party is going to be in part in spite of and because of one Donald J. Trump. It doesn't matter what they do today. Unless they were to successfully get this through the House, which I believe that they will, it'll go to the Senate. And when it goes to the Senate, it's going to take a long time. Joe Biden's going to be inaugurated before the Senate gets to can him. So it doesn't really make sense that Donald Trump is such a threat that they need to remove him now. Because they're not going to remove him any faster than Joe Biden's naturally scheduled inauguration will be. It's going to be okay. And it's going to be okay because we all know what this country stands for. We all know that this country has gone through some really, really tough stuff. And you don't even have to look more than 12 months in the past to see that. We have overcome enormous trials. And I'm telling you what, I am terrified for what Joe Biden is going to do to this country. But we're spiraling out of control in our culture. If we want to go back to Nancy Pelosi's, you know, favorite Bible verse, Which, when she was talking about it, it was like in the conjunction of Abraham Lincoln. I don't remember Paul's letter to Abraham Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois, but I would love to read that one. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So thank you, Nancy Pelosi, for making me look up that Bible verse, because I sang a song and like I was a member of the King's Kids Choir at the little Lutheran school that I went to when I was in fourth grade. And we sang a song. It was like, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. Like, that's in my head, which is, let me put it to you this way, why I appreciate parochial education so much. Because that's something you hammer it into those kids when they're 10, and it sticks with them. Let's start thinking about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And I don't care if you have religion or not. You know what those things are. You don't have to have religion to have a moral compass. In fact, we all have a moral compass. We all have an understanding of what is right and pure. And for me, yeah, I'm a Christian, and that's where I set my morality. It might not be for you. I hope it is. I'm happy that you're here either way. Forget about these yahoos on Capitol Hill for a day. Forget about what they're doing today is self-serving in every single aspect of the word. These people are not saving our republic. These people don't care about our republic. Right now, these people care about themselves. I think Donald Trump gave of himself to this country. I also think Donald Trump put a shovel or two in the ground to help dig his own grave. But we all do, don't we? If you've ever had a downfall, if you've ever had a mistake, there are things that you should have done differently. There are things you could have done better. Sometimes that's hard to swallow. Sometimes in hindsight, it's easy to recognize. But I'm telling you right now, if they successfully go through a conviction of this impeachment, it will be the single most unifying thing for the Republican Party, and we will be stronger than we have ever been before. Take heart in that and work your butt off. When your mind starts going down the doom zone or you're doom scrolling stupid late at night on social media, stop and think about something that is true, that is noble, that is right, that is pure. Something that is lovely, something that is admirable. Make it excellent, be praiseworthy, and move on. We will be fine. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with John Malcolm, who is the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage Foundation. He's going to break down what we heard from the FBI yesterday. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The third area emphasis that our office is also focusing on is we set up a strike force to focus on assaults on the media. Some people aren't familiar that some of those rioters specifically targeted members of the media and assaulted them. So we have assigned specific prosecutors in our office to focus on those cases as well. And I'm naming all these different strike forces to just emphasize, regardless of who the victim was, regardless of who the perpetrator was, we're treating all of these cases equally.
So that is the acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin yesterday. We carried that press conference with the FBI and the DOJ as they updated us on what they have learned so far with the riot that took place last week on Capitol Hill. We are 1 week away from that. Seems not that long ago. I want to get straight to our guest. John Malcolm is the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage Foundation. And John, thank you for coming on the show. I'm really looking forward to you breaking down to, for us at least, what we heard yesterday from those two departments, what they do know about the Capitol riot so far.
Sure. Well, it's good to be with you, Annie. I mean, they are being inundated with tips. Some of these people, of course, were bragging about what they did. They took selfies and did interviews. You know, there was the guy with Nancy Pelosi's desk, obviously the guy with the helmet and the Viking horns, the fellow dragging away a podium. These are all people who have now been charged. You know, there have been, I think, roughly 70 people who have already been charged with one crime or another in a week. That's rather remarkable. The FBI's opened up over 170 cases, and they've received over 100,000 tips. And I'm sure that they are relying on every bit that they can get, people who are voluntarily coming forward, perhaps to lessen the likelihood that they will be charged, in order to cooperate about and say what other people inside that building were doing. I'm sure that they are looking at pictures and cameras, and, you know, matching it up digitally to, you know, known images so that they can identify these individuals and interview them and, if necessary, charge them.
John, it seems like yesterday when we were listening to the press conference from the FBI, it sounded like they were talking about some things that would have had to have been premeditated. You know, if somebody's got a bomb, they didn't just happen to have that in their backpack and say, well, now that the president's speaking, let's put together this bomb. You know, are we finding that there were a lot of this? You know, it seems like a very mixed bag, that there might have been some things that were pre-planned and then some people who got caught up in the moment.
Well, look, let's begin by acknowledging what should be obvious, which is the vast majority of people who were on the Mall, you know, were there to voice their disapproval about what was going on, but they were not there to commit violent acts or to storm the Capitol. So, you know, to tar everybody who was involved in exercising their First Amendment rights in a peaceful fashion would be very, very unfair. But you are correct, is that there were pipe bombs that were discovered near, I believe, the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee. And that was not a spur of the moment decision. You know, it takes quite a bit of planning and sophistication to put together a pipe bomb and to place it. And clearly a number of people who did enter the Capitol came with weapons, whether it was their intention at the beginning of that day to storm the Capitol or not, I don't know. But they certainly came prepared for some trouble, and they certainly fomented that trouble and are now quite possibly going to be in trouble.
We're speaking with John Malcolm, the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage Foundation. You know, we see report after report of new arrests that are made or new people of interest that they're looking into. Is there a consistency, a thread that goes from one individual to the next regarding these folks who were participating in the riot that took place last week? Because there certainly is there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle looking to brand the type of person that was in the Capitol building that day for political purposes, obviously. But what do we know? Is there a thread of consistency from one person to the next?
Well, the biggest consistency is that they were all inside the Capitol and they had not been invited in, and they were there to disrupt things. Anybody who was saying, oh, well, we just wanted to knock on the door and politely tell our congressman and senator how we felt about the matter, you know, that is a bunch of hogwash. They were there to riot and to disrupt the proceedings. Some of them may have gone in because, oh, gee, look, there's a smashed window. I think I'll wander in and walk around and see what I see just so that they could be part of the moment. They were fools, of course, for doing that, in addition to the fact that they were violating the law. And, you know, that is the commonality. You know, there have been some rumors that, oh, some of these people were in Antifa and there were plants. If there were any, they were certainly a very, very small minority. I mean, these were people who left their support of President Trump and their upset at the results or conduct of the election clearly get the best of them. And to engage in an act or series of conduct that continues to shock a week later and will certainly be in people's minds for a long, long time to come, in sort of the same way as 9/11 was. 9/11 resulted in 3,000 people being killed. I'm not comparing the magnitude of the harm done by those two events, but people going in and violently acting out inside the people's house was certainly something that we will never and should never forget.
We're on the phone with John Malcolm, Vice President of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage. Let me ask you about that, John, because we've compared this. A lot of people have been doing the what about, there's riots happening all summer. Is this, as far as the law goes and prosecuting these people, is it different because it was a governmental institution?
Yes, I'm. You know, look, both are terrible, and of course, the people who were rioting and looting and loss of life, and you know, was that we saw in many urban areas was despicable. So I'm not defending that. There are different laws that can apply. So the people, for instance, who are trying to break into the federal courthouse in Portland, can be charged with federal laws. But a lot of the laws that were being violated were state laws. There are potential federal charges crossing state lines to participate in a riot, et cetera, but mostly state law offenses. Here, this was federal property. They were breaking into federal property, and they were arguably engaged in, you know, trying to hinder or delay the execution of the certification of the vote, which might subject them actually to charges of sedition, which carry a very heavy penalty.
In your opinion, the way that this has been covered so far, so much of what Americans are consuming after an event like this is how the media chooses to present it. And the media has a responsibility to get to the bottom of truth and to relay that to the American people. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Would you say, in the wake of what happened last week, that the media has done an adequate job of presenting facts, or do you see a lot of rhetoric that you've had to sift through in order to get to the bottom of what actually took place?
Oh, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I read the accounts that I read, and I certainly haven't been, I'm not one of those people that has like 9 TVs, screens in front of me. I've been scouring what MSNBC says versus what Fox News says versus what CNN says. I mean, it was clearly a disruptive event. And, you know, there have been obviously different portrayals about how much blame President Trump should get for all this, and obviously competing narratives about whether he should now be impeached and convicted, whether the Vice President Pence should have invoked the 25th Amendment. You know, people are going to have their opinions, but the one thing that is certainly common, it was a shocking event that never should have occurred, and the people who went in there and perpetrated these acts should be apprehended and punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Is the fact that it was, you know, I've seen other people compare the riots that would have taken place last summer, potentially vandalizing private businesses versus a public building, one of the most prominent public buildings, certainly in our country. Does that change the legal reaction that these individuals will face for having perpetrated these events because it is on public grounds? I see some people, I think that they are a little off their rocker by believing so, thinking that there is an entitlement to the house because it's the people's house. And comparatively speaking, when you're going in and breaking the glass and looting a private business, that is somehow different. How does that resonate legally?
Well, both are horrible. you know, yes, it's the people's house and that people can go in under normal circumstances and pass through magnetometers and make appointments and, you know, get meetings with congressmen or their staffers to redress their grievances, whatever they are. But just because it is the people's house doesn't mean that they can go through barricades, smash windows, attack Capitol police officers, threaten the lives of congressmen and senators and the vice president, all of whom were in the Capitol at the time. And that takes on, you know, a greater ramification in terms of the threat it poses actually to the, not only to the functioning of our government at that particular moment, but literally you had the vice president, the speaker of the House, and the president pro tempore, the number two, three, and four people in the line of succession in case something happens to the president, in that place at that time where people were being stormed and people had weapons. That is a different level of threat than, say, somebody who breaks in and loots a business in Chicago. It certainly, you know, the latter has a greater effect on the store owner in Chicago, and it certainly disrupts that community. But breaking into the Capitol during a solemn moment like the certification and challenge of the Electoral College vote and putting lives of our elected leaders in jeopardy, not to mention the Capitol police officers, is a magnitude a little bit higher, I would say.
John, let me ask you what may be a little bit of a difficult question, but I figure if anybody's going to know the answer, it would be you, Vice President of Institute for Constitutional Government and Heritage, on the phone with us. People are really trying to politicize this, of course, and compare what happened last Wednesday to everything that happened over the summer, as we've been talking about here a little bit too. The way that they're doing it, though, is saying, well, the FBI is really going after these people, but not these people. Or if you're on the other side, they're going after the people that stormed the Capitol, but not the rioters. Can you quantify that? Is that a thing that you can do and say, no, the FBI has actually been pretty fair, or they are going after one more than the other?
Oh, boy, that's tough to answer. So as I said before, a lot of the crimes that were committed during the riots over the summer were not federal violations. They were state law, criminal law violations. And so while the FBI can certainly assist with investigations, these people are ultimately not subject to federal charges. Now, if they attack federal officers, if they attack a federal facility, if you can prove that they crossed an interstate line with the purpose of organizing and committing a riot, it can lead to federal charges. So there are people who have been charged federally, but most of the crimes that have taken place in these various cities are state law crimes, and federal authorities have been there in more of an assist role. All of the crimes that happened at the nation's capital the other day were not only very serious, but they were all federal crimes. You know, I've heard people's reactions saying that these people were being treated more seriously or less seriously. You know, there are somewhat different circumstances. The riots that took place this summer were more widespread, but you know, you could sort of see it coming. Unfortunately, it appears as if the Capitol Police Force was really unprepared and overwhelmed by the events that happened last Tuesday. And so the reaction to trying to restore order also took on a different, you know, way of proceeding, because they were fighting from behind. I mean, you had to get the National Guard called out and FBI SWAT teams deployed on an emergency basis. I think the people were a little bit better prepared for the protests this summer. Unfortunately, they were also widespread, and they went into the night, and there was rioting, and there's only so much that you can do. But law enforcement authorities throughout the summer and certainly last week had their hands full.
John Malcolm, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it. Hopefully we do not have to follow up on this with future stories. It seems as though they are preparing for what could be coming in at different state capitals or whatever. I see a lot of this chatter on social media about potential protests that could assemble, but I'm not really seeing it from anybody who's saying you should go to it. I'm just seeing it from a lot of people who are saying don't go to this. So any expectation that there will be a materialized concern going forward
in this next week? The FBI is certainly sounding that alarm and appeared to be focusing on January the 17th. Look, this is a time where people need to restore calm and civility. So, you know, if people want to get out there and protest because they don't like that the president lost, or they don't like the election, or they don't like the fact that the president is going to be impeached, you know, fine, go out and protest, but keep it peaceful.
Peaceful. Yeah, absolutely. John, thank you so much for the time today. We're very grateful for it.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. The vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government at Heritage, online at heritage.org. Let's discuss this when we come back. I came across last night on Twitter a thread that I'm going to read to you, and it was spot on, and it was written by a friend of mine who I graduated high school with. He's local, and he wrote this from his heart, and it really resonated with me. I'm going to read it with you because I think it might hit home for you as well. I know when I sent it to Katie was all about it. So we will send that, or I will share that with you when we return, and maybe get some of your reaction. 314-241-9797. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Man, the hits just keep on coming. It appears as though that the Senate and the House has passed that police reform bill. We'll get an expert on to talk about that. In the 2 o'clock hour, we are going to cover the impeachment. We're not really 100% sure what that's going to look or sound like, so that's kind of a fluid situation. But just wanted to let you know that happened, and we'll be speaking with Jeroy Murdoch here right at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock, and get his reaction to the impeachment and the riots and what we have coming in the next few days, as well as Tim Jones in the 2 o'clock hour. I was talking about my friend who posted this on Twitter, and you know, Twitter is where a bunch of people go to grandstand. Like, you know, when something crazy happens, like last week, it's weird to go on Twitter and look at everybody's hot take, which is all the same. Mm-hmm. Well, there's usually like two takes, and you just pick one, and then you vocalize where you are on that issue. But you got to get it in, because it's like you got to have the timestamp. You got to be on the record. I'm not opposed to that. There's nothing necessarily wrong with doing that, but at the same time, you know, I got to ask myself why. Like, I can't imagine that when all of that is going on, that anybody's like sitting by Twitter refreshing, like, what does Annie think about this? Like, I have to know. Where is she? Why hasn't she told me yet? Like, there's a lot of people right now shouting in a small room, and nobody hears anybody. It's kind of an amazing thing. You know what I'm saying? So I was scrolling through Twitter last night and just kind of taking in the natural evening evolution of Twitter, which when you've got an impeachment going on, it can be entertaining. It can also be very depressing. And I came across this. This is from Paul Kruda. I went to high school with Paul Kruda, graduated with Paul Kruda. He played the guitar at our graduation, and he played Basket Case by Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And
perfect,
you know,
timing.
You know how Basket Case starts out with the little guitar riff, and then Green Day messes up? It was like, is he going to do it at graduation, or is he not going to do it? And I'm not going to repeat it here because it involves a filthy word. Paul Kruda did not do it. But we were all wondering. We were all on the edge of our seats. But he's always been a really nice, good dude. And so I'm like looking for all these hot takes from these blue check people. And I stumble across Paul's tweet, and it's a thread, and I'm going to read it to you here. And it's one of the most profound things that I've heard read on Twitter in quite some time. And it was more interesting, more profound to me, because it wasn't from some blue check. This is just a guy working in a family business who is feeling what we are all feeling. So I'm going to read this for you right now. He said, "People like me don't get radicalized by going to Parler. I'm not on it and don't want to be. I think they're peopled with loons. What makes people like me get radicalized? It's the day-to-day insult to my intelligence, telling me that I'm not seeing what I'm seeing, telling me that Brett Kavanaugh was a rapist, telling me that Amy Coney Barrett is a right-wing Handmaid's Tale-bringing psycho. I get radicalized when they tell me it's only the bad people, when the bad people are always being defined with broader and broader brushstrokes. I start to crack when they use the, quote, gay wedding cake example, when they would absolutely have destroyed him if they could, when they cynically point to his court victory as a reason to restrict access to information. They radicalize me when they said, quote, 15 days to slow the spread and let it be the rule for an entire year with still no end in sight. They radicalized me when they said Trump was the worst since Romney, was the worst since McCain, was the worst since Bush, was the worst since Reagan, was the worst since Nixon, and they're all the worst since Hitler. They radicalized me when they said Romney was a fool to call Russia our greatest geopolitical foe, and went on to name them as just that when it was politically expedient. They radicalized me by telling me I was evil for wanting everyone to be left the hell alone. And finally, they radicalized me by lumping me in with actual radicals. I'm not a radical. They just want me to think that I am. Katie, how's that hit you?
Chills. Chills. I don't know if a more profound, truer tweet has ever been typed out. Insane.
By the end, I mean, how much does it hit? And by the way, I'm getting texts from other people we graduated. It was good riddance, not basket case, which is maybe I was a basket case. Wanted to get out of there. Thanks, Nathan. You're made to feel crazy. You're made to feel like what you see in this world, what you care about in this world, what your priority is, what, you know, like the Romney citations there. Romney said that Russia was our greatest geopolitical foe. And Barack Obama had what was made into a haymaker that said that the 1980s call and they want their foreign policy back. And look at what Russia is to the Democrats now. The biggest thing that has been a part of Donald Trump's administration, a three-year trudgery of accusation towards Donald Trump, with the idea that Russia was the absolute great Satan, the worst possible country that Donald Trump could collude with. I thought that the 1980s wanted their foreign policy back. Well, no. The Democrats in 2016 to 2020 wanted it because it was useful for them. I mean, seriously, when you go through life, especially in the last 4 years, and you can maybe tack on another eight to that, when you go through life having principles that are yours, could be different than other people's. Your principles are yours. Others are theirs, and you have them for your own personal reasons and circumstances. And then you're made out to be like you're crazy. Like you are something that you abhor. Something that is disgusting to you. And instead of ever being able to have the opportunity to talk to somebody about, well, why would I be inclined to vote for a Republican? Or why would I be more inclined to vote for a fiscal conservative? You got to defend yourself from being a crazy, radical, racist loon. That's why people are upset right now. That's why people are angry. People want to mind their own business. People want to go through their life, invest in it what they want to get out of it, take some risks along the way, and live. That's what we're supposed to do here in this country. And you can't. Not if you're on the wrong side of the aisle. They'll attack you for it. And I got to say, if I would have read that by, if that would have been written and I would have come across that on Twitter, I would have been like, oh, that's good. I know this person. I know that this came from their heart. And it's like he took it out of my heart and put it on Twitter. Katie, if you could, can we embed that thread
Absolutely.
Into a blog? Because people are asking for it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get it up on our Facebook page and share it.
Sure.
Heather says on YouTube, Paul won Twitter for me yesterday.
Mm. Yeah.
He also had, really, like, I think 100 followers or something like that.
He did. That's what he said on Twitter.
I think he messaged. Yeah, did he? He got, like, 600 followers or something out of it. And he's like, do I get an award? I said, no, you get to complain in 48 hours about how many followers you've now lost.
Yeah.
That's basically what Twitter is. That's basically what Twitter has become for people. So thank you, Paul. I asked him when I said, I want to read this on the air tomorrow. A, is that okay? And B, do you want to just be a friend that I know? And he's like, no, you can say my name. So I appreciate that. He's a good person. You know what? I bet you're a good person, too. And even if they make you to feel like you're not, there's a lot of us. And generally speaking, we're quiet. But we are angry. We are frustrated. We got to figure out how to manifest that into something that is productive. Of course, violence is never that answer. And, you know, criminal activity is never that answer. But for the vast majority of people who have supported this president, who are wavering on the support of this president, who have voted Republican in the past, that's never been their answer. Going back to the beginning of the hour, whatever is true, right, noble, pure, think about those things. We'll be back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.